Hello and welcome to the Success Secret Podcast with your host Hussein Talib. I am excited to introduce you to a series of conversations with some of the most successful and inspiring individuals from various industries. My aim is to dive into the stories behind their success and explore the knowledge, strategies, habits, mindsets, and wisdom that have propelled their success. Each episode of the Success Secret Podcast will feature a different guest who will share their unique journey, the challenges they faced, and the lessons they have learned along the way. I will also be covering topics from entrepreneurship and innovation to leadership and personal development. Whether you are an inspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned business professional, or just someone looking to improve your life, the Success Secret Podcast is for you. My goal is to bring you valuable insights and inspiration that will help you achieve your own success in business and life. So get ready to learn and be inspired. The Success Secret Podcast starts now. In this episode, I have with me Scott Bywater. Scott is one of the most sought-after marketing copywriters in Australia, who runs what many regards as the highest-level private marketing group in Australia, Elite Marketers, and he is on the mission to help coaches, consultants, and course creators leverage their most undervalued asset, their email list, without being pushy or salesy. Scott, welcome to the Success Secret Podcast.
Thanks, Hussein. It's great to be here.
We know that business and the most important thing in business, though social media is nowadays is everywhere, a lot of different platforms, different websites, but email marketing is still one of the best things to have for a business and always to start with and keep in mind. So, but first of all, I want you to tell us, what does success means to you? Because this is the Success Secret Podcast, and what do you see others say what success is and you don't agree with, for example?
What is success to me? I think the big thing with success is living your life the way you choose to. I think that to me is success. So you can have incredible financial success, for instance, but if you give up your values along the way, then is that really success? Because when it all comes down to it, I think for me, success really boils down. It's a great question, Hussein. I think success really boils down to living my values. Did I have courage when I was under, when I was under fire, even though it perhaps cost me money? Did I choose to do the right thing when it was difficult to do the right thing? Because ultimately, it's doing the right thing, not the easy thing, I think, success. Whereas I think the issue we've got, like, with success very much in our society is we tend to revere people like the Bill Gates of the world, right? Personally, I'm not a fan. A lot of people tend to revere this. Because he's got money. But does that person actually have, and whoever it is, do they have values? Are they contributing to the world in a really, really positive way? Or are they crippling the world? And I think that's where we actually need to go back and go, listen, the people who should be recognized in our society is not necessarily the richest people. Not that I have any issue with money. I'm all for creating all the wealth you can create, but it shouldn't be revealed over actually living your values and making a difference.
Yeah, that's very important. It's always about having some people around you and sharing, let's say, what would success be to you with them, maybe also. So this is very important. Yeah.
Well, one thing just on this, Hussein, I remember years ago I was in a mastermind and I went over to the US by myself. It was first time to the US. I was like really excited, right, going there. And then I got there and I had an extra week there or something apart from the conference. And I was bored. And one of the things that I realized is, hey, I'm like living my dream. It wasn't my dream, but in a way, I'm in America. I always wanted to go to America. I'm over here. I can go and see all these things. but I actually wasn't interested because I was there by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it became very clear to me that it's also about success is also about who you're sharing the journey with. Mm-hmm. Because that would have been a totally different experience, right? If my family's with me, very different experience than me being there by myself.
Awesome.
Or that's friends, etc. Yeah.
Exactly. That's very important, sharing with your experiences with others, not by yourself. It's exciting to go to someplace new, but if you have someone you have been, could have taken them with you, that would be more exciting, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It fills your heart more, right, when you're with people, because it's a, it turns it into an experience. Yeah,
exactly. So speaking with people and having connections, how important having an email list and connecting with this email list for the business?
Email list is just, it's such an undervalued asset in our society, right? Like, I mean, yeah, not in our society, but in business, because everyone's very, you know, chasing after all the shiny objects, you know, your TikToks, your Facebook, your Instagram, all of that sort of thing. Everyone loves to talk about that, and it's very exciting. But what email does is it makes everything work better. So, and you can control it, right? So if I actually get leads from Facebook and I can put them onto my email list, I can deliver a much stronger relationship with that person, and likewise from any of the platforms. Now, the thing with email, like what litmus.com found is they did a study and they found that it gets us 36 times ROI for every $1 spent. Now you compare that with any other platform, it is the best ROI that I can find of any platform, right? That is out there, is email marketing, the humble email. But here's the thing, Hussein, a lot of people get tricked by email because they get tricked by their emotions, right? Because when you go on Facebook and you put a post up and you get 17 likes within 1 hour, your brain's firing off all these dopamine hits. You feel really good about yourself, et cetera, et cetera. When you send an email, yeah, you might get a reply back occasionally, but mostly you hear crickets. Like you don't necessarily hear anything back. So you're like, oh, well, the email's not working. But when you know how to use email effectively, dollar for dollar ROI, it is just, you know, it's just phenomenal. There's nothing else that compares to the email.
Yeah. So speaking of that, like for example, the open rates or the reply rates. So where does that start first before the subscriber, let's say, is on the email list? So does that depend on the messaging on social media or on the ad or in the blog post or in the whatever podcast or whatever? So how do we know that we are driving the right people into our like lead magnet or landing page and having the right people that will actually benefit and we would like to and love to build a connection with them?
Yeah. So in terms of the email list, like getting the right people on the email list, it's much like fishing, right? If you fish, if you want to catch a game fish, you've got to go out, you've got to go out to the deep sea. Mm-hmm. You're not going to catch that offshore. So it's the same principle appeals with getting people onto our email list. We need to go where they are. So if we want to get Fortune 500 CEOs, as an example, maybe we send a postcard out to them or do a LinkedIn campaign or something like that to get them onto our email list. If our list is broader, like we're after 45-year-old men who want to lose 10 pounds, then Facebook's a great place to go to that because it's a broader pool and we can target, by age. So that's really what it boils down to, is you just got to make sure that you're fishing in the right spots to get the target market you want to pull into your email list.
That's very interesting, because this thing that you are talking about here, the right spot, that would actually what could make our email good or bad, right? Like if we are fishing in the wrong place, right? when we send certain emails to these people, they won't interact with you.
Yes, well, it's all about relevance, right? So, and one of the things you can do, like let's say you've got an email list currently, you can send a survey out to your list and find out what the conversation is that's going on in their mind. And you can ask questions like, you know, what's your biggest challenge with, you know, let's say if it was me, it might be, what's your biggest challenge with, you know, getting high quality leads? Or another question is, if you could ask me any two questions, what would they be? So you send those emails out to your email list, and or you send those questions out to your email list. And what you'll find is then you'll see a trend in those responses, and you'll go, oh, people are really, you know, they're confused at the moment. They don't know how to market themselves or where to market themselves. So then you can write emails that are very, very specific to their concerns and what their needs are. So if you don't know what to write about, it's very simple. Go out and ask your customers. Or if perhaps your email list is small and you're not going to get a response, then go to something, you know, go to ChatGPT and ask them, you know, tell them about your customers, tell them about your avatar and ask them, what are the top fears? You know, what are the top 10 fears? What are the top 10 pains? What are the top 10 desires? What are the top 10 false beliefs? So it will guide you on exactly what to write to your target market.
That's awesome. So now speaking with that, now how do we like get our email list to get more sales from it, or appointments or client? Do we have like to sell from the start? So for example, if someone just signs up right into our page, do we have like, I don't want to say the right, but we do start selling from the first email, or do you think that there is a better approach? Like which a lot of people would say, like you have to nurture and take care of the client and maybe like send a lot of information or free information for like a day, two, a week or whatever it is. So what's your prospect on how to not be that sleazy salesman, I would say?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's two mistakes people make with email, right? So they either go, I call it the scorched earth approach, where they just pitch. And it can work for a while, like you can get some sales out of it. But the problem is it's like, you know, it's you scorch the earth. So you basically render it then useless. It's like dropping a toxic bomb on the barrier reef. Yeah, you might kill some fish, but you've stopped it growing anymore, right? So, and then the same apply. I mean, on the flip side, you've got the love letters. It's like, I don't want to sell anything. I just want to send out quality content. And that's great. You will build some solid relationships, but you know, like if you imagine a football game, the ball is, you know, like the ball isn't going into the goals. It's sort of hovering at you know, center half forward. And occasionally you'll get a ball in, but not as much as you would like. So the approach I follow is what's called the third way, if you can imagine a Venn diagram, it's in the middle of those two. So you're always leading with like high quality content. And I really like the strategy of then moving people in to download a report. So even though they're on your email list, so for example, let's say you run a digital marketing agency and you offer SEO services, website design services, and you do a CRM, for example. So you could have three reports on each of those topics. So if I'm writing about, let's say, CRM, and meaning customer relationship management platform, and then I will, at the end of that email, I can say, hey, you want to know more about how to solve this? Download my report on how to choose a CRM. Now, if you're on that list, Hussein, and you download a report about how to choose a CRM, it's reasonable for me to assess that you're interested in looking into getting a new CRM. Yeah, within the reasonable future, right? So you basically flagged yourself as that. So now I can take you off the main list and I can send you very specific emails about how to choose a CRM. What I can also do is when you download that report, I can ask for your phone number. And I can call you up and I can say, hey, Hussein, I noticed you downloaded the report, how to choose a CRM. How are you finding the report? By the way, are you looking at choosing a CRM at some stage in the near future? Oh, great. Why don't I book in a meeting with Peter, and he can talk to you about that in more detail. So at no stage is this like super salesy. All we're doing is we're asking them for a report. Then if they do the report, we're sending them more information about that topic and encouraging them to book a time in our calendar.
So that's amazing. Like we talk here about like after you get the lead for whatever like reason or lead page, you also can like see more in what they are into. So you will put them like in a more specialized like sequence, let's say, which is
best. Yeah, yeah. 100%. And it's relevant, right? It's extremely relevant to them because they've said that that's what they've told us that that's what they want.
Definitely. Yeah, that came from them. Like we didn't have something that you forced on them. Like there was nothing to it unless they actually took the action for it. So now that leads me like, for example, but they might, for example, one person could be for in your list for like in two lists, in your email list or in two categories, like, for example, in your list. So this would create like me personally, we get a lot of emails, right, a day, like maybe hundreds, maybe 200 emails a day. So that's a lot, right? Not considering social media, browsing social media, and the notification that almost all the time people are actually trying to look at how many likes that I got for that post. So how do we, like, as a copywriter and as a marketer, how do we, like, distinguish ourselves in this world of chaos in the inbox of our emails?
How do we stand out, essentially, Ryan? And I think it all boils down to one word, and that word is relevance. Mm. So if you're suffering from excruciating back pain, if you woke up this morning and suffering from excruciating back pain, and in your inbox you see a headline or a subject line talking about back pain, you're going to pay attention to it, right? Because it's relevant. So that's why the research component Hussein is so important. Is like Gary Benzavenger, who's arguably the world's greatest modern day copywriter, said, we should spend 40% of our time on research before we even think about writing anything, right? So this is where it's really important to understand our customers, their fears, their pains, their desires, their beliefs, to send the surveys out, so that when our email arrives, it's like, oh, I'm going to pay attention to Hussein's email. Because what happens, what people look at even before the subject line, guess what it is?
Who's it from?
Who it's from, exactly. So they're looking at who it's from. Now, whether they open that is also going to depend on the last email you sent and the email before that and the email before that. The same as when you look at whether you're going to pick up the phone. You see the phone. What do? You look at who it's from, right? Yeah, and you go, is this something which is a priority for me right now? It's no different from email. And if I've called you up like 20 times, and just every time I call you, I'm pitching you something that you don't want, odds are you're going to ignore that phone call. But if every time I've called you, I've added value to your life in some way, odds are you're far more likely to pick up that phone call. And it's no different with email.
Yeah, like it's funny that you mentioned the phone. Like I was thinking back in the day when we had the landline, like there is no, before even the, what they call, I don't know what's it called, the call identifier, the caller ID, even on landlines. So like imagine that. Imagine how salespeople or salesmen, saleswomen used to do that on landlines. Like they would call every minute the people who are not even interested in what they are selling. So I'm sure that happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why it's so much harder to get through to people on the phone these days, right? Oh, so yeah. It's, I know, because when I was 17, that's how I started off. I was, uh, I was, like telemarketing, selling like the hotel cards and that sort of thing. And, I don't know how that industry would be going now, just because so few people these days pick up their phone. And that's why it's so important to be relevant, because the way we buy has changed. Like, according to, like, there's this book, They Ask, You Answer. And this really applies to email. Because what he found, Marcus Sheridan is the guy's name, and he found if someone had absorbed 30 or more pieces of content, their conversion rate during a sales meeting jumped from 10% to 80%. So he was using blog posts, but this same principle applies. It's just like, how do we get people to absorb more of our content so that they trust us? Is a question I would encourage every business owner, particularly online business owners, to really ask, how do we get them to absorb more of our content? Now, email is a great way of doing that, and we control the flow. Obviously, podcasts, what we're doing now, is also a great way of doing that, but we control the flow. See, with email, the beautiful thing I love about email is we control it, because if, for example, you're on Facebook, LinkedIn, all of those sort of things, I've seen people have massive followings, particularly over the last 3 years, on these platforms disappear overnight. Yeah, they're there one day, they're gone the next, because the platform doesn't agree with whatever they have to say for whatever reason, gone, right? So if that person doesn't have an email list, what have they got? They got nothing. Exactly. They've got no way of reaching out to their target market. If you've got an email list, it changes the game. All of a sudden, it doesn't. It's your best security against that, because it doesn't matter what platform it is, doesn't matter who's running it, it's not yours. You don't own it. So they make the rules, and they can kick you off there at any time, or not even kick you off, just show less of your posts. We've all seen that, like, over the years, as the algorithm has changed, you might have a massive following on Facebook, but all of a sudden,
no, no, it's like, not even one, yeah.
You're getting 10% of the reach that you used to get.
Not even 10%. I'm seeing, actually, I was looking at certain pages, like, they have 10,000, 100,000. If you're talking 10%, that would, like, mean between, like, 5,000, or something. Like, you don't see that. You see like 5 likes, 10 likes, 20 likes, at maximum 50 likes. So that, like, 0.0005 maybe percent of the total likes on the page, which is really bad. I think these platforms, of course, they want anyone to reach even their own people who already like their pages by even advertising to them, because they have, like, in the advertising is like advertise to your page. So even that, you want to reach them again and again via advertising. So that's definitely not cost effective at all.
Yeah. So the game's changed, because they want the advertising dollar, right? So they don't give as much reach. But yeah, that's where email, it's just, yeah, you own it. You can send to it. You can export it. If it's in, if it's sitting in Infusionsoft or Keep, and you want to move it to Kartra or Go High Level or Active Campaign, you can do that. Like, it's actually an asset, and a very valuable asset.
So I want to ask you about that. Like, do you think there's a better platform for email marketing than the other? Like, you mentioned Keep, or there is like GetResponse, there's Aweber, there is like Active, there's like a million of these platforms or websites. Does having certain one of them or choosing certain one, does it matter, or it's all basically the same?
I mean, in my experience, I think they're much of a muchness in terms of the platform for just getting emails out, right? There are things you can do to maximize your email deliverability. Like, a friend of mine, a guy by the name of Ken Wood, he's very good at that. After I work with him, my email always lands in the inbox rather than the junk file or the promo file or that sort of thing. So there are technical things you can do, which is probably more important. In terms of the platform, I think, you know, that most of the platforms now will all have, you'll all be able to set up the automations in place. You'll be able to do the broadcast. You'll be able to tag. You'll be able to set up triggers, all of that sort of thing. It's more about the strategy, which is really key. The one thing, there's probably more fans that I've heard recently over an up-and-coming platform called Go High Level. Seems to be very popular at the moment. I don't personally use it because it's a hassle to swap over your CRM, as you would know. But that does seem to be getting a lot of people talking about that recently.
Speaking about the email list, the email itself, like for example, we talked about how important it is to have relevance and some kind of relationship. Like they know who the sender is, or the business is, the name of the person, or the name of the person, and also the importance of a subject line. But when we get inside of the email, do we have to make it like some kind of a short email because we want to get the click? Or is it, do you think, from your experience, it is better to have some kind of a bit longer email that has maybe some kind of a story, a personal story, or some kind of a funny story, or an entertaining story?
Yeah, I tend to, like mine are probably, like they're not super long, but they tend to be several hundred words in terms of the length of the email. So it's enough, because what you want to be doing within your email is you want to be providing something of value. Because if I provide you something of value, you're going to look at my email and you're going to say, the next time Scott sends me an email, I'm going to open it. Like that's a conversation you want in your head. At the same time, you want them to click and take some sort of action. So I tend to go down that middle, down that middle ground of giving enough, but I don't tend to write a book as an email, right? So I tend to keep it relatively, relatively short in that, that email sort of process. So it's probably, not that I usually measure the words, but it's probably like 300-400 words, something like that, probably 250 to 400 words, something along those sort of lines.
Good, because eventually, no matter what, you want to get the click, like whether it's to a sale, to a blog post, to a podcast episode, whatever it is, to you, you want people to click because they are mostly convinced that what they are going to go through is like useful to them at least.
Yeah, and there's things you can do there with the click. So you can have, you do what's called an open loop. So for instance, and we see open loops all the time. Like if you're watching the morning show and say, come back after the break, and you'll see a talking monkey that juggles or something, and you're like, oh, I got to wait around another 5 minutes through the ads to see this talking monkey, So it's done all the time. The TV shows are the same, right? Like it's like they always leave on a cliffhanger, and then you got to go to the next one to see what happens. So it's quite common. So you want to do the same thing with your email. You want two open loops essentially. So the first open loop is to get the click. Yeah. So let's say you've got an online course on how to invest in property, something like that, right? So you write your email and you say, right now, the best places, with what's happening in the economy, the best places, to purchase property, in the United Kingdom, these three cities. But there's one other city which is underrated. Most people have no idea that it's one of the best places to buy a property, but there's three reasons why it's the best place to buy a property. Reason number one, and then you list the reasons. Reason number two, you list the reasons. Reason number three, you list the reasons. If you'd like to know what this area is and exactly why there's no better place to invest in property in 2023, click here and grab a copy of my report, the number one place to invest in property in 2023. So what happens then, you're like, oh, I really want to know what that area is. So I've got to click, I've got to download that report. And then they go to the next stage of the sales cycle. Now, the big mistake people make, Hussein, with email is they don't set up their strikers first. So if you can imagine a football game, right? So in football, we're talking what the English would call the real football, right? So soccer. So if you imagine it, you know, the number one thing and the highest paid person on that football field is a striker, right? Yeah, because otherwise, if you get the ball down there and you don't have a striker, you end up like the Australian football team, where you get it down there all the time and you hardly ever thread it through the two poles. So that's where people make the mistake. They don't set up these white papers and they don't set up these automation funnels. So they're sending out lots of emails, but it's going there and it just sort of sits there. Mm. Yeah. And even if you try and book people into an appointment on the email, it doesn't tend to work as well. So it just sits there and you're not kicking the goal. So it's really important to get the infrastructure set for your emails to maximize your results.
Mm. That's very important. Yes. The striker is the most important player of the game. And if you don't attack, you won't win. So in business, I guess it's the same thing. If you don't attack and go head to head with whatever it is that you face, whatever problems that comes to you, you won't win.
Yes. Yeah. And you got to be prepared, right? It's all about the preparation with the email so that you can attack. Because you can attack and go, I'm going to send out lots of emails to my list, but if you don't have the preparation in place and the infrastructure, then it can be far less leveraged than it could be if you did it the right way.
So do you think that we missed something talking about email that you can mention here?
I think just the big thing, like particularly with, like, I think every business should embrace it. And particularly with AI, it has never been easier to embrace email. Because particularly, like we were talking about the reports before and all of that sort of thing, they've never been easier to create. To create a report, it used to take hours or days before you'd have to pay a copywriter like thousands of dollars to create a report. Now with AI, you can create them yourself and you can create them very, very quickly. Mm. So the game has changed to where if you're smart and you're quick, you can really leverage these strategies probably 5 to 10 times faster than you could 12 months ago by leveraging AI in the right way.
So do you think AI is a plus sign, a good thing, especially in the last couple of years? Now everything is improving very quickly for marketers and copywriters.
It's AI is a double-edged sword. That's the way I would look at AI. Like I personally love using it within my work because it allows me to do a better job, a faster job, by leveraging what AI can do. And I do also enjoy the fact that now I can even help smaller business owners, because like I was on a call with a guy earlier today and we probably did like $5,000 of work in an hour, what I would previously charge $5,000 for in an hour. We've some magic by leveraging the AI. So it allows that small business owner to really be able to work at such a level that it was only possible before with the big companies. Do you know what I mean? So that's where it's super, super powerful. The long-term implications of AI, I don't know. There's an excitement, but there's also a concern for where the AI is going, particularly if you don't trust some of the powers that be at the moment, where that AI is going to go. But either way, it's like the way I look at AI is it's like trying to stop a runaway freight train by standing there with your hand up and trying to stop it. You're not going to be able to stop it. So you may as well jump on board and leverage it and use it for the good of your business.
Yeah, definitely. Like Some people will have to watch the Terminator, I think, maybe, or RoboCop to see how machines or machine learning or AI might evolve. People have been watching these movies.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's who knows where that, you know, where that's going to go. But yeah, I think the disadvantage of ignoring it is you can really get left behind. Mm-hmm. And if your competitor's using it and you're not using AI, they can work at probably 3 to 5 times the speed of what you can. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you're sitting there with your horse and cart and your competitor's driving a Ferrari, you're probably not going to win that race.
Yeah, definitely. You have to keep up with the innovations, I would say. It's important. Yes. Yes, exactly. So what would you say some of the tools, we talked a little bit about this, but I want to know a little bit more. What do you think some of the resources, tools, or even books that you would recommend?
Yeah, so I mean, resources, we're just talking about AI. So I would say, I mean, the main thing I use with AI is ChatGPT, and that can do some incredible things. If you're into like the image side, and I will use this for blog posts and that sort of thing, is Midjourney. And if you ask ChatGPT to give you a prompt, you can then pull that prompt and put it into Midjourney, and it can give some pretty impressive images. So in terms of books, it depends what people are after in terms of books, but I think, you know, anything by, I'm just thinking of the people listening, like, you know, something like Dan Kennedy, the ultimate sales letter is a great simple book, which talks about, you know, the foundational principles of copywriting, which still apply today. And even with all this ChatGPT and that, I think it's even more important to understand the foundations of your craft. Because I can make magic happen with ChatGPT because I understand the foundations. I understand who the experts are. I understand the models. I can bring it across and I can work at a rapid speed. Mm-hmm. Like with Midjourney, which we were talking about before. So Midjourney is incredibly Midjourney is incredibly powerful as an image tool. But if you're an artist and you understand all the different great photographers, the cartoonists, the great artists of all time, how light works, all that sort of thing, you could make absolute magic happen with Midjourney to a level that I can't because I don't have that background and those skills.
Well, Scott, where can people get in touch with you and learn more about you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, my main website is Copywriting That Sells. So it's www.copywritingthatsells.com.au. If you do want to get your hands on I've got some AI cheat sheets, which some of your listeners might find interesting. You go to simpleemailroi.com/AI. And I've got some, I call it the ultimate AI writing cheat sheet. And you'll be able to leverage three prompts in there to whip up emails in minutes, even if you're a non-writer. So I'd encourage them to go there and download that report.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Scott Bywater, for being here today with me on this episode of the Success Secret Podcast. It's very informative.
Thanks for having me, Hussein. It's been great to chat.